Joining us live and local today for Jordan Miller, you've got JT and today's and is the head football coach of the Glen Oak Fighting Golden Eagles, the one and only Scotty Garcia, as we come to you live from my home dojo. Scotty, I mentioned the fact that you're a head football coach, but you're also athletic director at Glen Oak. So you've got so many things on the table, including postponements, cancellations of other sporting events, COVID as far as it relates to the high school. What's going on that front?
You know, right now, you know, I'm on a thread with all the ADs in Northeastern Ohio, and there's some up in the Cleveland area especially that are kind of hitting the pause button.
They got hit hard, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, Cavaliers, right. Browns, doesn't end there, right?
Right. Right now, we're full go. Obviously, you know, we're being very careful with our teams and, you know, taking some extra precautions, but right now we're full go. That could change by the minute. You know, there's some school, I believe it's Shaker Heights, that went back to the last year with no fans and two parents and that kind of thing. They're going to do that for a while. So I think as we go, you know, we're going to see a lot of changes.
So you guys are in a break right now, holidays, right?
Yes.
And by the way, happy Kwanzaa if you're celebrating today as well, day two of Kwanzaa, as we continue to celebrate the holidays. You're on break till when?
Till next Monday. But we, you know, I'm there every day just about.
Is that normal or is that because of COVID?
No, that's normal.
Okay.
That's normal. We still have events going on. We had basketball games last week.
All right.
Our girls basketball coach, Paul Wackerly, puts on a Wishes Can Happen tournament every year. And that's an awesome thing, you know, for a kid.
Mm-hmm. Tony Hero involved in that?
No, I don't think so.
He was involved in one of those. I can't remember which one.
But they raised $5,000 for Wishes Can Happen.
God bless them.
So we had 2 days of girls basketball games last week. Our boys play tomorrow night. We still have the weight room going full go for football.
Yeah.
We had about 40 guys in there this morning.
No kidding.
So, yeah, it never ends.
So all day long, you're watching out for not just growth as far as it is concerning your football team, your basketball teams, and everything else, but you're looking at this. Are you in contact with the state? You mentioned other athletic directors. What about the state health departments and protocols and everything?
Yeah, we pay attention to all those guidelines, and you know, obviously, we learned way back when all this first started. Things can change by the minute. I tell you, when that first happened, you would hear things before the governor would get on. If you remember back to governor's talk at 2 o'clock every day, we would watch those, and basically, you're making adjustments on the fly. I mean, it's no different than a football game.
So it's basically up to each individual county.
Exactly.
As far as how the outbreak spreads.
So everybody tries to stay on the same page, but, you know, there's different areas that are getting hit harder, and, you know, it's pretty much a free-for-all.
So last year as athletic director, you're on the sidelines watching all the games, and not just football, but for this instance anyway, let's talk about the football program as far as it is concerning with COVID-19. So as athletic director and all the protocols that went into effect then, you fast forward to this past season, you guys go 3-6 in the regular season, 3-7 you get into the playoffs, you unfortunately you lose a game, but that was a pretty decent comeback from where that program was before you reassumed head coaching responsibilities. As far as COVID is concerned, we saw what had happened the year before, and we saw where it was this year. What changes did you have to make as an individual from just being athletic director to being athletic director and head coach?
You know, we actually got hit harder last year than we did the year before. We actually had a game canceled this past year against Austin Town Fitch, and we dealt with it pretty much through the middle of the season. We didn't have our full lineup probably about 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
Wow.
And then we got everybody back, got healthy, and, you know, we had a lot of young guys that played and really got better as the year went on. But, last year we got hit hard with it.
So when you had to postpone a game like that, is that due to the fact that you had an outbreak here, or was it an outbreak at Austin Town?
We had it here.
Oh, really?
We had, let me think back. We had 5 or 6 guys that actually had COVID. We had another 10-ish that were getting tested, and we had to make a decision, you know, based on those numbers the day before the game.
So. Scotty, how severe are the cases when we're seeing it in high school? With a high school athlete like that, because what we had heard was Maybe if you're in good shape and you've got more of a chance to fend this thing off. Were there hospitalizations, or was it simply a couple of days off, quarantining yourself for 10 days, like we see in certain situations?
It's almost a mirror of society. We actually had a kid in Akron Children's Hospital for about
really?
A month. We had other kids that were down for a week or two
okay.
that were sick. Mm. And then we had others that were positive with no symptoms.
That's amazing.
So it was all over the board. So that was kind of tough to decipher through that.
As far as you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, we read the numbers every week and every day by the state. They were approaching almost, I believe, 20,917 new cases. Doesn't actually represent what had happened over the weekend because of the fact that they didn't take numbers on the Christmas day, basically. You see those numbers. They may not be as accurate because now you got people home testing. You've got kids that may be asymptomatic. How were you sure that you didn't come down with it? Or did you guys test?
No, I didn't. But I just, you know, I felt good through the whole season.
Yeah.
We tried to keep distance. We didn't stay in the locker room like we normally would. We did a lot of our meetings on the field. Mm-hmm. We did some of those kind of things. But, yeah, it was tough to navigate through
that. Well, it's
amazing. Yeah, it sure is.
Scotty Garcia is our co-host today. You'll be back again on Thursday. Wednesday. We're going to have Trucker Lindensmith tomorrow and Thursday, which will be fun, too. We love talking to coaches, especially when it relates to the dojo. And we're talking all things football, COVID-related. If you'd like to join the program, 330-450-1480. Let's move the topic a little bit and move away a little bit from the COVID right now into the holidays. And we talked about whether or not you were able to get with family members and do whatever. Any plans for New Year's Eve for you guys or anything, or what are you going to do?
You know, right now, we're just planning on hanging out. We have my wife's family. We didn't spend Christmas with them, so they're going to come New Year's Day,
mm-hmm.
Do our Christmas with them New Year's Day, and watch the Buckeyes, watch the Rose Bowl.
Let's keep our fingers crossed for those games.
That'll be cool. You know, going back to COVID, so, you know, my nephew and his fiance are down in Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
and they're both stuck in an apartment with COVID. Yeah, so we'll see if that, you know.
Are they Bearcat fans?
They are.
Because we see that there's, I printed them out. I've got to go back to my notes and see for the cancellations as far as the CFP is concerned, what they'll end up doing if a team has to back out of it. Like in the semifinals, I believe, if one team has an outbreak, they'll basically forfeit the semifinal game. If it gets to the championship game, good luck trying to sort that one out. Because we truly don't know what's going to happen from day to day. In fact, today we found out that two of the bowl games that were scheduled to take place today have been canceled. And they are the Military Bowl, which would have been Boston College versus East Carolina. The other one would have been the Fenway Bowl, Virginia versus SMU. When those cancellations happen so fast, the weekend of the games, there's not a chance to get somebody to pinch hit, so to speak, like Rutgers was doing in I can't remember what other bowl game. We talk about all these different bowl games, and we talk about sometimes being meaningless bowl games. If you're not playing for a championship, do you really feel good about going into the bowls? What's your thought process on the Buckeyes playing in the Rose Bowl? What does it mean to the players because they're not in the college football playoffs?
You know, I'm more of a traditionalist, and I think it's awesome that they're in the Rose Bowl. And if they're not taking it serious, and I know they are, you know, shame on them. And to call them meaningless, I mean, you work hard all year to go to something like that. And I know they're disappointed that they're not in the national
championship. Well, that's it. When you're used to playing for titles, who cares about a Rose Bowl?
Yeah, but I think going back, I think the Ohio State people love the Rose Bowl. I know I do.
They didn't travel this year.
Yeah.
They had 20,000 tickets, and I think they sent 7,000 of them back.
Yeah, I think a lot of that had to do with the COVID
protocols. It could be that. It also could be this. And for me, anyway, when I think about it, it's not a meaningless bowl, and I'll tell you why for me. When you got smacked down by your rival, and we saw what happened in the Michigan game, and we saw a team that truly wasn't that well prepared, maybe a little bit overconfident, we don't know. But moving forward, I think it's imperative for a program like Ohio State to A, let's refocus on our defense, which they did. They hired Jim Knowles to come in as a new defensive coordinator. And I think the defense has been lacking ever since Fickell left. So they're addressing that situation, even though he won't be able to coach during the Rose Bowl. But when I think about what's going on now, I think it's imperative you use that month and a half of practice. You get some game preparation. You get some game playing, actually, for some of these underclassmen. I look at the Rose Bowl as the first preseason game as you get set for Notre Dame and the Lidlifter next year.
Yeah, there's no question that that month of practice is important. To look at it as a preseason game, I don't agree with that. I think you need to go win that game. I think it's still important. I think it's still probably going to be more watched than some of the championship games on New Year's Eve. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's just the Rose Bowl's the granddaddy of them all, as they call it.
It's what they used to call it. I don't know if it's you think about the Rose Bowl, you think of Ohio State playing a USC, a UCLA, maybe even an Arizona State we won one time.
Right.
But I never really considered the fact that Utah would be playing in the Rose Bowl. They've only been in the Pac-12 for a year or so. So we'll see what happens. And let's see how the Buckeyes will, focus on the game and see how they perform, when it comes New Year's Day, playing in, like you say, the granddaddy of them all. We're spending time with Scott Garcia in the dojo. We invite you to join the program. We've got about another hour or so left, and we are live and local on Newstalk 1480 WHBC.